hey, you know, just so you know, the people of Radio Malaspina are committed to engaging our listeners in an inclusive, intelligent, and informative alternative media experience. We encourage personal responsibility in all levels of community. We are a campus and community-supported forum and stage for the voices of Malaspina University College, Nanaimo, the Islands, and, in the case of this show, the Canadian 9/11 Truth Movement. CHLY indeed is an integral part of the solution for a better tomorrow for all of us. Stay tuned for Unbought and Unbossed.
What's happening? Where are we headed? And would we be here today without 9/11?
Will somebody please tell us who's in charge? We need order. We can't stand this new world slaughter. There is the royal seats and bloody handshakes. You have interest in war profiteers. Our life is here in the belly of the beast. Let's be killed. The innocent is free for peace. Slaughter for the chief commander. So we're at the White House front. The man in America, but they don't got none. We've got few choices. Protest or pick up shotguns. We're so stressed. We know the watch. Them out arrest us. Know where the keep it talking. And we ain't made no death threats. Fed up set, so our phones infested. Think John Lennon resurrected. Sticking tooth to power till we have no breath left.
We say no more. We're gonna fight back. We want the truth out. We want our rights back. Loose change.
Change is loose. No stopping now.
Change is loose. No stopping now.
We say no more. We're gonna fight back. We want the truth out. We want our rights back. Loose change.
Change is loose. No stopping now.
Now.
We keep our mouths and minds open, hoping we can change the world. Media blackout, still we don't act out. We've been civilized despite the killing. You call yourself patriots, label as villains. My comrades and nomads that are born free. Think it's rich kids, poor kids, lawyers and teachers. Dads, moms, past war veterans, peddling the truth. We ain't settling, the proof is clear. Watergate, you got a lot of hate. Trying to charm us with a spider face.
What are you, an asshole?
Your wars are legal, your cause is evil, your bomb people. As redneck with a sequel, you're a sicko psycho. We've seen the proof. You can't intimidate the world from delivering truth. We're bigger than you. 40 million plus. Your guns ain't big enough to make us hush.
We say no more. We're gonna fight back. We want the truth out. We want our rights back. Loose change.
Change is loose. No stopping now.
Change is loose. No stopping now.
We say no more. We're gonna fight back. We want the truth out. We want our rights back. Loose change.
Change is loose. No stopping now.
Change is loose, no stopping now.
We do this for the lives lost, devoured by evil, for the sake of the memory of innocent people, engulfed by the gluttony of hooligans who leave the world in ruins. Men here to do a sin, but there's just a few of them and more of us. We warriors on the quest for justice. We crush the lies, trust only the facts. Just open your eyes, who really attacked? My feelings exactly, facts be lacking on the hijack and synchronized organs, facilitated plane crashing. And they wonder why we keep asking questions of my lesson. Like it's a profession, so here we are, the infantry. We the people simply need to start a revolution of our minds. And eventually the crime of the century will finally be solved. Until then, we say tall
and say no more. We're gonna fight back. We want the truth out. We want our rights back. Loose change.
Change is loose, no stopping now.
Change is loose, no stopping now.
We say no more. We're gonna fight back. We want the truth out. We want our rights back. Loose change.
Change is loose, no stopping now.
Change is loose, no stopping now.
Remember this. Your government is funding and trading out rights.
Let's go.
Hello and welcome to Unbought and Unbossed, Canadian political news and views. This is show number 46. Today is December the 5th, 2007. Unbought and Unbossed is an independent voice dedicated to presenting and discussing the political and social issues most relevant to Canadian citizens. 9/11 was an inside job. 9/11 is Canada's single most important issue, because the self-inflicted attacks of 9/11 are being used as the justification for the current overthrow of our democratic and sovereign nationhood, turning Canada into a corporate-driven plutocracy. This radio program is witness to the changes of a post-9/11 Canada and to what our economic and political leaders are currently doing to us. By using this illegitimate war of terror and secret business agreements with our bought and bossed politicians, North America is being turned into a fascist police state to protect the power and will of this elite international class. Each week, new segments on Unbought and Unbossed offers further evidence for these incredible claims, which are either ignored or distorted by the mainstream corporate media. Turn your televisions off. You are being lied to and conditioned to accept this madness as our inevitable future. We must put an end to our leaders' quest for permanent war and work to return the future of the human race to its rightful owners. You. Our ignore it and maybe it will go away on its own mentality is killing us. It has to end now. It is high time to wake up and to educate, to learn and to work together, to find the courage to act on our love for one another. The revolution has begun. There we are, Bruce Coburn. Thank you for bringing us home once again. Actions Speak Louder. That is from his Nothing But a Burning Light CD. Amazing stuff. It was the first album of his that I bought. And boy, am I happy I purchased that. Okay, we started off by listening to, I'm guessing the name of the song is Loose Change, Final Cut. That, of course, is from the movie. That is the credits song at the end. So that is Remo Conscious. Well done. Today's show, what do we got going on? Big show. I have a telephone interview with Wayne Prente from the Greater Vancouver / Fraser Valley 9/11 Truth. Who is Wayne? Well, he's a founding member of the Vancouver 9/11 Truth Society and was the central organizer of the pivotal Vancouver 9/11 Truth Conference earlier this year, June 2007. Through his work in this area, Wayne has established a network of contacts that have been instrumental in establishing the 9/11 Truth Movement in Canada, which now includes 14 groups in 14 different cities across the nation. Wayne is an active blogger, a critic of the war on terror and the Security and Prosperity Partnership, an occasional guest on a number of radio talk shows around North America, including this show. So as always, Wayne has been actively working on ideas on how to spread the 9/11 truth message. In a recent paper by Wayne entitled 9/11 Truth, Sales and Marketing Strategies versus Confrontations, Wayne points out a wealth of adaptable information that comes from our business world. Hey, let's use some of their tricks against them. That sounds like a good idea. So, you know, that is basically civil informationing, something Robin Horton, a guest 2 weeks back, we discussed. So we're going to carry on with that. This will be the, I guess, the Canadian counterpart to that. So, you know, Wayne is also encouraging the creation of a national group of 9/11 Truth. So we're going to take a look at that, I'm sure. And, you know, the state of the movement. How is 9/11 Truth going? How are you guys doing out there? We'll talk about that, too. So that will come up in maybe a half hour or so. And Wayne is in the Fraser Valley right now. Another thing we are going to look at, this is a definition and an introduction to conspiratorial history. This comes from the website 3worldwars.com. I believe Chris is the person who forwarded that link to me. Thank you. So it's a look at a popular revisionist view of history that asks the question, are the historical events involving humanity always the direct result of some sudden and surprising event? Or, To what extent could they have been influenced or maybe even created by man? How much of our history is constructed in secret, which of course by definition is a conspiracy. So maybe we can kind of turn that conspiracy theory, turn it around on the people and say, well, let's take a look at what has been a conspiracy in the past, and is there reason to think that they still continue? Of course there is. And another piece I'm going to look at today is a very, at least for me, it gives me a lot of hope. It's very empowering. This address was written by Salt Lake City Mayor Ross C. Anderson, sometimes known as Rocky. He wrote this October 27th, 2007, and he speaks with an honesty that is seldom spoken by politicians in power. You know, sometimes a renegade politician will tell a little bit of truth after they're out of office, or, you know, maybe they're independently wealthy, which most of them are, or, you know, maybe they don't want that corporate job after being a politician, so they tell the truth. Well, well done, Rocky Anderson, Salt Lake City. We're going to be listening to that as well. Okay, so I'm going to take a breather, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to start off with a look at conspiratorial history. So, this is Boom, System of a Down from Steal This Album. Here it goes.
I've been walking through your streets, where all your money's earned, where all your buildings crying and foolish neckties working. Evolving fake long houses, housing all your fears, desensitized by TV. Overbearing advertising, god of consumerism, and all your crooked pictures looking good. Mirrorism, filtering information for the public eye. Designed for profiteering, your neighbor, what a guy. Unnecessary death, matador corporations, puppeting your frustrations with a blinded flag. Manufacturing consent is the name of the game. The bottom line is money, nobody gives a fuck. 4,000 hungry children leave us per hour from starvation, while billions are spent on bombs, creating death showers. Every time you drop the bomb, you kill the god your child.
Time you drop that bomb. Okay, so what we're going to do right now is take an introductory look to conspiratorial history, a definition of. Now, again, I told you that this comes from threeworldwars.com, and they give special thanks to Ralph Epperson, who was the author of The Unseen Hand, An Introduction to the Conspiratorial View of History. I don't know if it's his website or not. I'll let you take a look and find out. So what we have is two views of history. There are two fundamental ways to view history. So says Three World Wars. We call one the catastrophic or accidental view of history. The other we call the conspiratorial view of history. So what is accidental history? In the catastrophic or accidental view of history, We are led to believe that historical events, such as war and revolutions, were the direct result of some sudden or surprising event. While the catastrophic view is accurate for weather, volcanoes, and earthquakes, it does not always provide a realistic view of humanity and events influenced by man. Young, malleable American and other Western minds are sadly taught the accidental view of history in the government school systems. This view is reinforced throughout their lives by the controlled mass media. As a result, when most discover the conspiratorial view of history, the immediate reaction is shock, disbelief, and a refusal to accept something other than what they've been taught to believe. So clearly, this relates to 9/11 truth movement. Let me see. So now let's take a look at conspiratorial history. Well, this studies that part of history that is a product of man's planning. That sounds pretty simple. In conspiratorial history, we are led to believe that events such as wars and revolutions are the result of planned events. While the conspiratorial view is not accurate for weather, volcanoes, and earthquakes, it is a realistic and accurate view of the interrelationship of man and nations. Since the planning for most of these events was done in secret, we use the term conspiratorial history. That is, this history is the result of plans constructed in secret, which, of course, by definition, is a conspiracy. So we believe that current world events are not simply circumstantial, but the result of an organized campaign by an elite group of unseen and widely unknown world leaders. Their goal is to exercise absolute dictatorial control over the world to establish a, you guessed it, new world order. Okay, you with me on this? I hadn't heard this term before. In my schooling in university, I studied English literature. So, you know, that study of thought was not involved in that study. But in history, it certainly would be or could be, but I have a feeling that universities also are staying quite close to the accidental view of history, you know, as does our televisions and our governments. So, carrying on here, the cause of war is this next section, and they say that wars start when one nation moves into the territory of another, depressions occur when markets take unexpected downturns, and inflation occurs when prices are driven up by shortages. Revolutions likewise start when the people, always spontaneously, rise up to overthrow the existing government. These are the traditional explanations of historical events. Events happen by accident. There does not seem to be any cause. But this accidental explanation of history leaves gnawing questions in the minds of serious students. Is it possible that government leaders and others planned these events and then orchestrated them to their desired conclusions? Is it possible that even the great catastrophes of history were part of this plan? There is an explanation of historical events that answers these questions in the affirmative. It is called the conspiratorial view of history, and it is the alternative to the accidental view. The view that is commonly held today. Okay, so carrying on here, the conspiratorial view of history. They say that historical events occur by design for reasons that are not generally made well known to the public, but they are well known to those in power at the time. And here's a quote by former American President Franklin D. Roosevelt, who certainly saw many monumental events occur during his consecutive administrations, and he has been quoted as saying, "In politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, it was planned that way." So that's a rather telling statement. So planners working in secret to plan an event that the people do not wish to occur are, by definitions, members of a conspiracy. Webster's defines conspiracy as a combination of people working in secret for an evil or unlawful purpose. But, not only must the conspirators work in secret, they must make every effort to ensure that their plans are not made public. So the first task of a conspiracy then becomes that of convincing the people that the conspiracy itself does not exist. This makes the task of uncovering the mechanisms of the conspiracy all the more difficult. Well, it helps when we have media, you know, the corporate media that we have today, that when it comes to 9/11 truth, you know, they will continue to belittle in the face of overwhelming evidence. But we can get into some of that discussion of how to react, or should we, what different ways could we react to the media, and maybe they can work with us, maybe not, we'll see. But that's something that Wayne Parente and I will hopefully discuss later. So I'll conclude this article here by what motivates a conspiracy. And they say that the ultimate purpose of this conspiracy is power. There are some who desire this more than even material goods, although the two frequently go together. So that's power and wealth. Those who seek power will be corrupted by it. They will be willing to intentionally cause depressions, revolutions, and wars in order to further their desire for more power. This corrupting nature of the very pursuit of power explains why the moral mind of the individual, who neither desires power over others nor understands the desire for such power, they cannot fathom why power seekers would want to create human misery through wars, depressions, and revolutions. In other words, the conspirators are successful because the moral citizen, you and I, cannot accept the conclusion that other individuals would actually wish to create incredibly destructive acts against their fellow citizens. So the motive of the conspirators has been identified, and it is power. So says this introduction to conspiratorial history. I took this from Three World Wars. Again, I think it was Chris who sent me this link. Thank you, Chris. Some interesting stuff. I'd like to know if, you know, there's revisionist history, and this seems to fit within that as well. So there we are. You know, that's kind of that's a neat phrase, and maybe we'll be hearing more of it, not on your television anytime soon, but, you know, in the real world. You and I right now, we're part of the real world. And CHLY is definitely part of the real world, because that's who you're listening to right now. We are at 101.7 FM in Nanaimo. We're online at chly.ca. From there, you at the schedule page, you will see this show on the Wednesday from 8 to 10 slot. If you click there, you will get to my website, where you can listen to past shows, find out who was on, what songs I played, what articles I looked at, as well as some links to websites that were discussed on the show, things like that. So that is that. Okay, I'm going to take us to a song now. This next one here is called No Planes, and it is by Superpower. Okay, there it is. That is superpower. No flames fly that day. That's for sure. Okay, let's move into this very empowering. At least it is for me. I feel, 10 feet tall and bulletproof. You know, I feel like it's refreshing to see an active politician speak of such honesty. And this comes from Salt Lake City Mayor Ross C. Anderson, sometimes known as Rocky. So, obviously, he's talking about American issues, but there are so many similarities to do with Canada here. So, you know, a lot can be transferred over. Some things can't, but, you know, this is still very relevant, you know, and plus we can kind of see what's going on in the States and, you know, if that's going to be coming up to Canada. I mean, bits and pieces of it already are, you know, so that's why this is coming on. I do think it is relevant. So here we are. Rocky Anderson says, "Today, as we come together once again in this great city, we raise our voices in unison to say to President Bush and Vice President Cheney, to other members of the Bush administration, past and present, to the majority of Congress, including Utah's entire congressional delegation, and to much of the mainstream media, you have failed us miserably, and we won't take it anymore. While we had every reason to expect far more of you, you have been pompous, greedy, cruel, and incompetent as you have led this great nation to a moral, military, and national security abyss. You have breached trust with the American people. You have utterly failed in the performance of your jobs. You have undermined our Constitution, permitted the violation of the most fundamental treaty obligations, and betrayed the rule of law. You have engaged in or permitted heinous human rights abuses of the sort never before countenanced in our nation's history as a matter of official policy. You have sent American women and men to kill and be killed on the basis of lies, on the basis of shifting justifications, without competent leadership, and without even a coherent plan for this monumental blunder. We are here to tell you, we won't take it anymore. You have acted in direct contravention to the values that we as Americans who love our country hold dear. You have deceived us in the most cynical, outrageous ways. You have undermined or allowed the undermining of our constitutional system of checks and balances among the three presumed co-equal branches of our government. You have helped lead our nation to the brink of fascism." Yes, he even said the F word. "To the brink of fascism, of a dictatorship contemptuous of our nation's treaty obligations, federal statutory law, our Constitution, and the rule of law. Because of you and because of your jingoistic false patriotism, our world is far more dangerous, our nation is far more despised, and the threat of terrorism is far greater than ever before. It has been absolutely astounding how you have committed the most horrendous acts, causing such needless tragedy in the lives of millions of people, yet you wear your so-called religion on your sleeves, asserting your God is on my side nonsense, when what you have done flies in the face of any religious or humanitarian tradition. Your hypocrisy is mind-boggling and disgraceful. What part of thou shalt not kill do you not understand? What part of the golden rule do you not understand? What part of be honest, be responsible, and be accountable don't you understand? What part of blessed are the peacekeepers do you not understand? As United States agents kidnap, disappear, and torture human beings around the world, you justify, you deceive, and you cover up. We find what you have done to men, women, and children, and to the good name and reputation of the United States so appalling, so unconscionable, and so outrageous as to compel us to call upon you to step aside and allow other men and women who are competent, true to our nation's values, and with high moral principles to stand in your places. For the good of our nation, for the good of our children, for the good of our world.
Good evening. I would like to report on the state of our war against the American people. We're mounting a sustained campaign to crack down on every American and every person of every faith and every nation and to bring them to justice. All missions are being executed according to plan, without warning or provocation. Americans are being swept up in an international dragnet. Thousands of FBI agents are on the trail of other citizens here and abroad. It has everything to do with hate and evil and murder and prejudice. America is strong, strong, strong.
Federal agents, we are armed!
Carrying on with Rocky Anderson, mayor of Salt Lake City. We must avoid the trap of focusing the blame solely upon President Bush and Vice President Cheney. This is not just about a few people who have wronged our country and the world. They were enabled by members of both parties in Congress. They were enabled by the pathetic mainstream news media. And ultimately, they have been enabled by the American people. 40% of whom are so ill-formed they still think Iraq was behind the 9/11 attacks. A people who know more and care more about baseball statistics and which drunken scarlets are wearing underwear than they know and care about the atrocities being committed every single day in our name by a government for which we need to take responsibility of. We are here to say to the Bush administration, to the majority of Congress, and to the mainstream media, you have violated your solemn responsibilities. You have undermined our democracy, spat upon our Constitution, and engaged in outrageous, despicable acts. You have brought our nation to a point of immorality, inhumanity, and illegality of immense tragic, unprecedented proportions. If we want principled, courageous elected officials, we need to be principled, courageous, and tenacious ourselves. History has demonstrated that our elected officials are not our leaders. Our leadership has to come from us. If we don't insist, if we don't persist, then we are not living up to our responsibilities as citizens in a democracy and our responsibilities as moral human beings. If we remain silent, we signal to Congress and to the Bush administration and to candidates running for office and to the world that we support the status quo. Silence is complicity. Only by standing up for what's right and never letting down can we say we are doing our part. It all started 5 years ago. I don't know why he didn't use six, because the Iraq war hadn't started yet, and 9/11 was a year before. But anyways, he uses the number five. It all started 5 years ago. Yet where have we, the American people, been? At this point, we are responsible. We get together once in a while at demonstrations and complain about Bush and Cheney and Congress and about the pathetic news media. We point fingers and yell a lot. Then most people politely go away until another demonstration a few months later. How many people can honestly say they have spent as much time learning about and opposing the outrages of the Bush administration as they have spent watching sports or mindless television programs during this last 5 years? Escapist, time-sapping sports and insipid in entertainment have indeed become the opiate of the masses. Why is this country so sound asleep? Why do we abide what is happening to our nation, to our Constitution, to the cause of peace and international law and order? Why are we not doing all in our power to put an end to this madness? I implore you, draw a line. Figure out exactly where your own moral breaking point is. How much will you put up with before you say no more and mean it? I have drawn my line as a matter of simple personal morality. I cannot and will not support any candidate who has voted to fund the atrocities in Iraq. I cannot and will not support any candidate who will not commit to remove all U.S. troops as soon as possible from Iraq. I cannot and will not support any candidate who has supported legislation that takes us one step closer to attacking Iran. I cannot and will not support any candidate who has not fought to stop the kidnapping, disappearances, and torture being carried on in our name. Well, there it is. That's not all of it. I've selected bits and pieces from it, but I think you get the gist. Wow. I would like to have this person as an MP in my riding, that's for sure. Person I voted for, I feel, has let me down. Their party has let me down. All the major political parties in Canada have let every one of us down. And when enough of us wake up and say, enough of this lie, you know, then something will happen. But we've got to wake these people up, and we've got to do it in such a way that we're not going to scare them away, that we're not going to get attacks by the major media, you know, because as Wynne will talk about, that will hasten the police state, which we see all around us. You know, those, and I'm going to call them phony, at least this last one, these phony terror problems on BC ferries. I don't think they're really happening. Because these reporters get their messages funneled through them, through the government, and they're taking it as if it's true. And this last one, I looked for the people involved. I wanted to track this down like I did the last one and find out who's who and where is where. And there's no information. You can't track this stuff down. It's a dead end. And I think it's a big, fat lie. I thought, you know, in my world, a terrorist would go after politicians, the people that are doing these terrible things. I think that the media has spun this twisting of terrorism. And, you know, everyday citizens are supposed to be afraid. We're not the ones that are, you know, sending weapons all over the world to kill people. It's our politicians doing it behind our back. So I find it really hard to believe that terrorists would threaten people that have nothing to do with it. That doesn't make any sense to me. There you go. I also, you know, think there's something to that conspiratorial history. You know, call me crazy, but gee, I think people tend to make plans. So, where are we going with that? I got an interview with Wynne Parente coming up real shortly. First off, we're going to get to the ferry update. And I don't have my Popeye song with me today, but I do have another one by Ashley McIsaac, and I'll play that one for us, all right?
Hi, how are you today?
Doing just fine, Ashley, thank you. There we are. That is our ferries update. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to put on a Bob Dylan song, and my new buddy Dave from Road Poets, he played this song today, but that was quite a few hours ago, so I'm going to play it again, and son of a gun, it's a good song. It's All Along the Watchtower is, and that is from his John Wesley Harding album. That album had a huge influence on Jimi Hendrix, apparently. All Along the Watchtower.
Mm-hmm. There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Welcome back. You're listening to CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo. Are we ready to move on? You betcha. Thanks, Bob. Coming up, we have a telephone interview with Wayne Prente of the Greater Vancouver / Fraser Valley 9/11 Truth. Now, Wayne is a former peace officer, not police, peace officer with associate's degree in criminology and a certificate in law enforcement, as well as BC Justice Institute trained. He has worked many years in public and private security and investigations and has dealt with violent offenders. He has been in many violent situations. Although he is no longer working in any of these above capacities, he still concerns himself with law and justice issues, civil liberties, as well as politics and history, including being involved as a researcher, activist, organizer in the ongoing Citizens Inquiry into the events of September 11, 2001. Wayne is a founding member of the Vancouver 9/11 Truth Society and was a central organizer in the pivotal Vancouver 9/11 Truth Conference from June of 2007. Through his work in this area, Wayne has established a network of contacts and has been instrumental in establishing the 9/11 Truth Movement in Canada, which now includes groups in 14 cities across the nation. He is a blogger, critic on the War of Terror and the SPP, and an occasional guest on numerous talk shows around North America. In a recent paper entitled, 9/11 Truth Sales and Marketing Strategies versus Confrontations, Wayne points out a wealth of adaptable information from the business world and shows that we need not reinvent the wheel to meet our objectives in the 9/11 Truth Movement. Wayne is also a supporter of creating a national Canadian 9/11 Truth chapter or group. We got some big ideas coming up. Welcome to the show, Wayne. You there?
I'm here, Raymond.
Hey, welcome, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on the greatest show in Nanaimo.
Hey, absolutely. Now, you have been writing a lot. You've been, it seems to be you're pumping out a major article every week or so, and I want to give your website of how people can get a hold of some of this. So let me start off, listeners. The website is where Wayne posts most of his stuff to, is FV, as in Fraser Valley, 911truth.org. So that's FV911truth.org. You know, and you can, Wayne, it seems to me, is, you know, is one of the leaders in Canada in the truth movement, and this is someone's stuff that you want to read. Wayne, I hope I'm not giving you a big head here, buddy, but you have been pretty busy, and, you know, the articles you're writing are very pertinent and bring up a lot of information that that we need to go through. That, you know, well, why don't you tell us a little bit about it? Do you want to talk about this paper, or do you want to backtrack a little bit?
First off, thanks for that wonderful introduction. I didn't realize you had copped that from a letter
I did, yeah,
to the newspapers recently regarding the taser issues, which has been another big issue for me, you know, since the day that happened back in mid-October. This year, of course, the taser death of Robert Sikansky, which I immediately began responding to. I just immediately knew there was a big problem with that story well before the video ever came out. So that I got quite sidetracked into that over the last while, but I felt very strongly about it, especially with my personal background, as you mentioned, and a lot of these issues that I've seen happening, that we are. We have a police state developing here in this country, that the police are being trained for a police state. They're being trained to react rather than think, and it was a pretty scary thing. I just wanted to I'll just mention that too. For all, you know, I know a lot of you out there too that I communicate with regularly via email. I send out quite a bit of stuff. And a lot of you have picked up on that and gotten involved, and I just want to say how much I appreciate it. We have done just an amazing job, and even before that video came out, of raising the hue and call and getting people interested in that and getting them to think about it and getting them to contact their MPs, their MLAs, and everybody in the newspapers. And, hey, we accomplished something with that, you know. You know, it's not going to be pushed aside as they had originally thought they would be able to do. It all started because a couple of citizens had a bit of guts and a bit of moxie, and, you know, they saw what was going on. They filmed it. They made notes about their story, and they insisted that the media cover this, and they were not going to let it go. That's what citizens can do to change things, and we have a lot to learn from that. And I immediately wrote a couple of letters to the papers about that. I got these two papers in my town. One of them published one of my letters. The other was so upset with what I said that they turned around and sent a nasty, very nasty, long, nasty letter back to me from the publisher, defending the police and saying that this was not an issue that we should at all be concerned with. It didn't happen here, and who cares? And blah blah blah.
No kidding.
Yeah. I also sent one to my member of parliament, Randy Camp, who's a conservative, and this was back in early November. Again, I guess before the videos actually came out, I got a typed formal response from him, you know, and it was very much along the official Conservative Party response to this thing that I'd gotten from everybody else.
Kind of a standard letter.
A standard letter, yeah. I'm happy to report that this week I got back a letter, handwritten, even the envelope handwritten, from Randy Camp. It was no longer, "Dear Mr. Pronte, blah, blah, blah." It was, "Dear Wayne, I've seen this video. I have to agree with you 100%. There's something really wrong here," and went on from there. And all in handwriting on a nice, like a card, in the form of a card, with the insignia of the parliament on the
right,
front.
Right.
And, this issue has affected a lot of people, and, you know, that's the kind of thing that we can do if we take the, you know, when people get outraged enough, they have that rage inside of them, and it moves them to take action. You know, that was something that everybody saw, and so there was no question everybody was going to be outraged about it.
Mm-hmm.
And 9/11's a little bit different than that, because they were originally outraged in 2001 when they saw it, and then they got told who done it, and that was it, and that's where their outrage stayed with it. You know, so it's been a different story with 9/11. I guess we should probably talk a little bit about, you know, this past year in...
Well, it has been a big year in 9/11 truth in Canada. You know, a number of people have stated that the conference in June, you know, that three-day conference with, you know, more than a dozen, you know, international speakers and scholars, wow, it was really something. That seems to have, you know, energized Canada, that, you know, we can do something here. People are paying attention. We put on a hell of a conference, or Vancouver Society in general. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, thinking back this past year, I mean, this time last year, I had a lot of doubters when I, you know, I had first proposed in the conference. And, you know, the Vancouver 9/11 Truth Society had not even been formed. It was just a loose group at that time. And we were talking about things that we could do within the next, you know, 6 to 8 months, you know, like up till summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I was chairing a number of the meetings at the start, and I set out an agenda, and a few other people joined in, such as Drew Knopfley. And we said to Jen, I said, look, we can do these things. You know, we started off doing some screenings in Vancouver back in January and February, and that went really well. We got some more people coming into our group. We then started turning our attention more to the idea of the conference, and it was a very hard sell for me to get people on board with that.
It was big.
Yeah.
I mean, that was you aimed high.
Yeah.
And damn it, you know, you guys reached your goal.
Yeah.
I mean, congratulations.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot to be learned right there.
Yeah.
You know, think of how high these this new world order is reaching.
Absolutely.
They're reaching for the stars,
Absolutely.
Baby. You know, and maybe we need to reach high as well.
Yeah. Well, we just did one thing after another. We put one foot in front of the other. And, you know, like I said, we did those screenings, and then a couple of months later, we brought in David Ray Griffin into town, and we put on, you know, a really great show there where we basically packed the house. I mean, there were something like 800 people there.
Yeah.
Came out to see that gentleman speak, you know. And then, you know, a little over a month later, we had the conference, and it was just an outstanding success in every sense. We didn't sell out exactly, you know, as we'd hoped. And if we'd had, you know, we were kind of fighting the clock a bit. It was a lot to do in a short time. But we did get the word out. We ended up with, you know, something like 400 people per day were going at the conference, you know.
I heard the rumor. Can you clarify this? Was it the first conference to basically break even? I guess where I want to go with this is that we're not doing this to make a buck. You know, as you said before, this is not a hobby. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
There was money on the line.
There's always money on the line because, you know, in order to do that, I mean, we had some money. We made some money from doing the screenings. We made no money off of David Ray Griffin, maybe a couple $100 that were left over, possibly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had no budget except for, you know, people who stepped up to the plate and said, okay, you know, I need this guy to be flown into town. I need a hotel here. I need this there. And people stepped up and put their money out and said, yeah, okay, we'll do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They bought into it, and they said, yeah, we can do this, and I kept telling them, look, just, you know, stay positive, we can do this, we can succeed. And the people that I talked to, you know, when I came up with the concept, started inviting guests to the conference, they were all, you know, they said, yeah, this is the concept. I mean, we call it 9/11 Canada and the New World Order, reclaiming our destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah, New World Order, man, that's we have to include that, because people got to know 9/11 just didn't happen. It wasn't just an inside mm-hmm. job for the mm-hmm. sake of being an inside job, or, you know, it didn't happen in a vacuum.
Yeah.
There was a whole agenda behind that.
Yeah.
And that's what we also need to address, and so that's what we did, you know. And so people were really on board with this conference, right? Like, there was a lot of excitement just built throughout the springtime
mm-hmm.
when it started getting announced on 9/11 Blogger. And I knew it. I mean, all kinds of websites all around the internet.
And I began hooking in. I was getting a little more serious with you guys in Vancouver at that time as well. So, you know, that's when I hooked into you guys.
Absolutely. So, Yeah, and you know, the way it turned out, I mean, some things happened at that conference that you know, I hadn't even bargained for. We had a great, wonderful discussion there between Professor Stephen E. Jones and Dr. Bill Deagle about the possibility of mini nukes having been used at the World Trade Center and so on. Great civil discussion, not anybody yelling, shouting, screaming, accusing anybody of anything. Just a nice discussion, you know. And that's what conferences should be for, you know. And I think everybody, it was just so positive, you know, in so many ways.
Right.
Yeah. So a lot came out of that. It took a lot out of me. I put about a year's work into that in a matter of 4 or 5 months. you know, it really zapped me.
Right. Let me jump in here for one sec, you know, because we're pumping this this conference.
Yeah.
I want to point out that high-quality videos were made of each lecture. They can be had. I don't think the Vancouver Society website is hosting them, but I do know that...
You can go onto Google Video and just type in Vancouver 9/11 Truth Conference.
There you go.
They'll come up for you. Yeah. Unless the Vancouver group still has them somewhere on their site. They revamped their site recently, so I'm not exactly sure at the moment. But
you know, for those, I also understand that they are for sale as well. If you want to get the package and you know, put a little bit of money into the Vancouver movement, so you know they can, well, I guess have the legs to stand on to put on other events. You know, because it does take money to book a hall, right? I mean,
right.
So they can be purchased, you know, quite reasonable. I don't want to Drew gave me a quote, but I don't know if that was a member price, so
yeah,
I don't want to...
I'm not sure either, yeah. I don't have anything to do with that. But,
reasonable
but,
price,
but getting
guys.
Back to whether or not it made any money, at the point that the conference was going on, to my understanding of the rough bookkeeping we had done at that time, I mean, there were still a lot of things, you know, loose ends being tied up. So, but to my knowledge, at that point, we were going to be the only conference to have ever not lost money.
Mm-hmm.
And and to my knowledge, that is still the case. And, of course, you know, whatever they're able to make now off of selling the DVDs, of course, you know, will be profit from that, which, of course, will, you know, then go on into other projects in the future, you know. So that they, you know, they've got a war chest to work with, and they're not having to rely on individuals stepping up to the plate, you know, which is a beautiful thing, right?
Which is nice. You know, we're fortunate in Vancouver, big population, a progressive population as well. You know, a lot of important things have come out of this region in the world, and you know, Vancouver seems to be shining in the 9/11 movement as well. Now, you have moved closer to where you live, and you're working out of the Fraser Valley now.
Yeah, I live way out in Maple Ridge, and it was always a hassle for me to go to meetings in Vancouver, just with the schedule that I worked, plus the driving, plus I was driving a wreck of a car, and, you know, a number of different issues, including not having a whole lot of money for gas and things like that, and eventually I just got rid of my car, too. So
there you go.
But at the time, you know, we occasionally would get members or new people coming to meetings from way out in the valley, and, you know, and they'd show up, you know, very rarely, or, you know, they'd want to be there, but they couldn't, you know, just too far to go and so on. And I thought, well, it's getting to that point for me too. Time to, you know, maybe look closer to home. And so that's what I've done. Talked to a couple of people, and they said, yeah, by all means, you know, I'll support it if you get things going.
Yeah. It's as simple as that. But you know, speaking of new truth groups, you know, I know that you've, you know, personally been responsible for some of these. And you know, I'm not kidding when I say that. You know, Wayne has been, you know, a positive influence in Canada here, you know, and I am sincere about that, and I want to thank you. You know, you spend a lot of time doing, you know, a lot of this work, and, you know, the other thing which we're going to get to shortly, hopefully, is you know, looking at some of the writings, and, you know, you're putting some real solid thought down into, you know, the future of the movement, how it's going to get to where we want it to go. I guess what I'm saying here, Wayne, is I stole the air there for a sec because I've got some business to take care of
problem.
And if you can hang tight with me, I'm sorry. You know what? I should give you a chance. Did you? Did I cut you off?
No, that's okay, man.
Are you finished your thought?
Yeah, pretty much. I was just gonna finish by saying that We've now, established or are in the process of establishing this new group, Fraser Valley, Greater Vancouver, Fraser Valley 911 Truth. And again, the website is fv911truth.org. Mm-hmm. And if anybody's listening right now, that I know Raymond can't take another call at the same time he's talking to me, but we do have a chat room on there now. If you go to our website at the very top, there's links, and one of them says chat. Just click on there and come on in if you have any questions. That you'd like to ask, that would be a way to do it during the show.
Nice.
Okay?
Nice.
And also you can click on the blog and you'll see the article that Raymond was referring to earlier.
Right. Now, did you change the name? I've got it down as 9/11 Truth Sales and Marketing Strategies versus Confrontations.
I just changed the title slightly. It's now, where have I got it here? I'm now calling it 9/11 Truth Sales and Marketing, a positive approach to increasing public awareness about 9/11 issues.
Hmm. Okay, good. Good. I like the longer title. Okay, well, thank you. Wayne, you hang tight, and your bad host has some business to take care of.
Okay.
So stay on.
Yeah.
All right. There we are. It is time for Campus Community Updates, which means I've got another amazing Bruce Cockburn song. That I'm going to play for it. Oh, that's not. That's one amazing song, but... hey, that's pretty good advice. Know your limits. Stay within it. Okay, of course, you are listening to CHLY. You know that. We just had a couple announcements there. However, those announcements were brought to you in part by North Island Productions, as well as Edmonton 9/11 Truth. Hey, that's pretty cool. Way to go, Edmonton. Let us welcome back Wayne. You with us?
I am.
Hey, thanks for waiting. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Where were we?
Well, Raymond, we were just talking about where we've been and what we've accomplished here in the last year. And I was just thinking to myself during the break, the first time I talked to you on your show was back in the springtime. And at that time, the only actual truth group on the map at that time was the Vancouver 9/11 Truth Society.
Mm.
And, it was pretty difficult to find, other than one or two sites, pretty hard to find another group that was out there. And I made a lot of friends, as I said, in the last couple of years throughout Canada, some of whom I've now met personally, but not all. And but I really would like to, because we're now in December, coming up to, holiday season and so on, and this is probably going to be the last time I come on with you this year, I would really like to give a shout-out to my friend Drew Noftley from Vancouver 9/11 Truth Society, who is now gone off to China, and I bet he's probably listening in China right now.
Nice. I hope so. Yeah. Hello, Drew, if you are.
Also to my girlfriend Carolyn, who's listening in Tampa Bay, Florida.
Fantastic.
And I would like to say hello to Peter Zaza in Victoria, Brad Brain, Kootenays, Bill Polonsky in the Yukon, Jamie Barris, I believe his name is, in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Richard or Doug Brinkman up in Edmonton, Joe Hawkins and Neil McCarthy in Winnipeg, Richard Harris, Chris Bell, Toronto, 9/11 Truth, Mark in Ottawa, Michael Pingay, and Patrick Perron doing outstanding work in Montreal, 9/11 mm-hmm. Truth. Of course, another brand new group that started up recently is Halifax, 9/11 Truth, with a fellow by the name of Robert. I've forgotten his last name, but hello to you. Welcome aboard, man. And, of course, we've got Stephen Harris in Newfoundland.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to salute all you guys for taking the bull by the horns and making it happen this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm really humbled by what we've accomplished, and my hat goes off to you guys, and I really want to salute you too, Raymond.
Mm. Well, sure, man. Thanks. I mean, I'm just feel that I'm doing what I can.
Yeah, and you've done a lot, man, and we're all really proud of you. And tuning into your show on a Wednesday night for me is just routine now. I just got to have it. when I hear that that music starting up there, that Bruce Cockburn tune,
yeah,
and your intro, man, it just kicks ass. And
nice.
It just gets me pumped to do another week's worth of work on this.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah. But anyways, as far as the article that I've got up, I guess Some of your listeners will recall that you had a guest on your show 2 weeks ago, and that was Mr. Robin Horden, former FAA or traffic controller from who lives down in near Seattle, Washington.
That's right, yeah.
I came across Robin last, I believe it was February. I had heard his name mentioned, I guess it was in Pilots for 9/11 Truth, and I came across an article that he wrote, and then I heard him on an interview. And I was just really impressed with the guy. I just had to call him, and I looked him up and found him and had a great long talk with him. He just blew me away. Just an outstanding man, and had so much knowledge and insight into what happened on 9/11. And
an insider's perspective being a former pilot, former air traffic controller.
Yeah, absolutely. It totally blew me away. So he also, during the month of May, came up on his own to see David Ray Griffin. David Ray Griffin, of course, had quoted him on a few occasions in his latest book.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I'd also discovered the wonderful Mr. Roland Horden, Roland Morgan, who also lives near you
on
Vancouver Island, and Hal Sisson, another wonderful, wonderful man. They all three of them came to see David Ray Griffin in May. I was just thrilled to death. Honored to meet these outstanding Canadians who were standing up and saying, look, there's a real problem here with 9/11,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course Robin himself. So, and I guess through the whole this last year where we've, you know, really sort of burst onto the scene up here in Canada, there's been, 9/11 Truth has been making a lot of progress in the States. And I thought it was doing quite well. You know, we'd see the occasional hit piece and smear piece and stuff coming out of the press or, you know, on the TV and so on, some attack pieces. But for the most part, you know, we've done a really good job getting the message out on our own. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly there was a group started up by the name of We Are Change, and that was also, I think, about a year ago. And they came out with a kind of a different approach. I guess it started out with just one guy in New York, Luke Rudowski, and who took it upon himself. I guess he'd had some incidents himself with certain situations anyways that got him involved, where he was out then beginning to confront some people like Giuliani, mm-hmm. and Silverstein and other players in the New York City area, and was getting some of these things filmed and put onto Google Video or YouTube and so on. And, you know, to some extent I thought that was good and that was right and so on, but he has inspired a whole new movement that has come up in the States. And they're taking a total different tack from what 9/11 Truth had had taken to that point,
mm-hmm.
Which is basically civil information, and civil meaning, of course, being polite, but also doing one's civic duty.
Their patriotic duty.
Yeah. And so these guys were taking a different, more in-your-face kind of approach, you know, as Robin was telling us a couple of weeks ago. And I kind of noticed that. I was so busy in the first half of the year, you know, I wasn't keeping up with it that much with what was really going on until after the conference, and I'd recovered somewhat and got back into you know, keeping up with the news and so on. But this did, you know, hit my radar screen that these guys were growing very rapidly, and they were getting people to go out and just confront people everywhere, and including on September 11th, the anniversary in New York, and a few things happened there, and it just didn't sit right with me. Mm-hmm. I thought it's really, as much as I understand why they want to do that, I just thought, you know, the optics of it are going to do us more harm than good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd been given that a couple, you know, a thought already for a couple of months, and then I got an email from Robin Horden where he had been in New York at that same time and witnessed some of the things going down. And he said basically the same thing. He said, no, we don't need to do this. This stuff has all been done in the past before. You know, it's right to be outraged by what happened on 9/11 and the lies and the cover-ups. But our job is just to get out there and inform people. and to not get into fights with the media and politicians and so on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what you left unsaid was that the truth movement is looking to create a better world, one that is just, one where their governments don't do nasty things like this. So that is our goal.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so, yeah, and you know, to my way of thinking is that they're saying we are change, but to my way of thinking, it's we are the same, because they're taking a hateful and antagonistic approach to this, you know, and whereas I want to, it's hard, I mean, obviously there's nothing positive about 9/11. It's just putting a different face on it and saying, you know, look, you know, people, we've got to, we've got a lot of information here that contradicts the official story of 9/11, and, you know, we'd like you to take a look at this and to get involved and to join us, you know, rather than taking a hard line approach and forcing it on people. And this is what I've seen happening, is it becoming more and more forceful. And, of course, that is creating a reaction by those people that they're confronting. And there's been a lot of blowback recently that they have now, you know, come out with new legislation, you know, anti-thought crime legislation, and anything that the government basically deems as, you know, as terrorism is now terrorism, and you know, lumping everybody together type of thing, and
right.
homegrown and anti-homegrown terrorism and stuff like this, and it's all basically in a reaction to some of these confrontations that have gone on.
Yeah.
At least that's the way I see it. So
you could also argue that that was part of the police state entry. I agree with you that this will certainly haste or quicken the approach. You know,
yes.
Of you know, if there is people that are, you know, getting nasty and upsetting people, and yeah, carry on.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, looking at this. I mean, when we often hear quoted in the 9/11 truth movement is Gandhi saying that first they ignore you, then next they laugh at you, then they attack you, and then you win.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I've heard people say, well, when they start attacking you, you're over the target. And to that degree, yes, I agree with that. The problem with what I saw was that we were going out and attacking them,
mm-hmm.
and causing that reaction.
Yeah.
And what I see happening is that you know, that is probably, you know, the end goal is that they do want to have a police state, they do want to have martial law, but we're just hastening that along. Some people think that that is actually good, and that that is when we will win. I totally disagree with that.
Mm.
Now, there are reasons to you know, like, for instance, you read that article by, I believe it's Mayor Rocky Anderson.
Yeah.
I read that piece, too, a couple, I don't know, a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm. It might even be forwarded through you.
Could be.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, a very powerful piece, had nothing to do with 9/11, just the state of the nation in the United States,
mm-hmm.
I mean, just looking at things.
And Canada, yeah.
And, yeah, but it was just basically things that everybody should know about, should now see, should be clear to people.
Yeah.
And you cannot dispute anything in there that he's saying. There's nothing to dispute.
Mm-hmm.
So it's well and good to go out and talk about that, and to voice that frustration, and to be very, you know, forceful and forthright about it. You don't have to beat around the bush about that, because everybody's on the same page now, except for maybe about, you know, 20% or less who now still support the Bush regime,
mm-hmm.
Who do that reflexively without thinking, I suppose. But so I don't have a problem with that. 9/11, in my opinion, is a totally different kettle of fish. It's something that we were sold. You know, it not only happened, but we were sold on the idea of it being an outside job by Bin Laden and the 19 box cutter boys, and that this was an attack on America, an attack on all of us, an attack on freedom, an attack on this, and it was attack, 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 and we're all under attack, and it just went on for days and days and weeks, months and months.
Mm-hmm.
And
Bush is still pushing 9/11.
Absolutely, you know, it's still going on, and people have heard this over and over. And even though, in the meantime, in 6 years' time, we have disproved so many of the things that they are saying. We have total, you know, 100% proof to the contrary. I'm not saying we have 100% proof of who or who did it, who actually did it, but proof that
what they say
story,
is not yeah.
exactly proof that totally, you know.
So it's getting that evidence into people's ears and hands.
Right. And all that, you know, like we have a lot of people going out to, and I mean, myself included, I was of that thinking for quite a while too, is because you come to realize after you've watched Loose Change you've watched 9/11 Mysteries, you've watched some of the other great DVD documentaries that are out there, and you've gone through the evidence, you've heard Professor Stephen E. Jones, you've read David Ray Griffin's books, you've looked at all of these things, and you go, oh my God, of course you're angry. Of course it hurts to realize how much you've been lied to, that these people are barbarians, you know, whoever did it, and killed 3,000 people, and blamed it on somebody else to start the whole war, from which, you know, thousands of people have now died. You know, and it's just total chaos and bedlam over there, and we've got our troops and over there as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many reasons to be angry about that. The thing is that, you know, until everybody else sees what you see, they are not going to sympathize with
mm-hmm.
your anger,
mm-hmm.
right? And that is basically the whole point of civil informationing, is that we have to use that anger to motivate ourselves to go and do something, but to realize, you know, in our hearts, hey, you know, we've got the truth on our side. We've got facts.
Mm-hmm.
We've got evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can go with a smile on our face and say, you know, and even if we confront Giuliani or anybody, these kind of people on the street, if we can smile and say, you know what, we know, and it's just a matter of time before everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're going to call you to account, you know. And, you know, we don't have to be rude. We don't have to be aggressive. We don't have to claim to know the truth. You know, so I've taken a step back from saying 9/11 was an inside job to just wanting to get people to investigate 9/11. And, you know, why would anybody not want to? And the thing is to get people to look at some of the facts that we have, some of the evidence that we've accumulated
mm-hmm.
from some very, very knowledgeable, intelligent scholars, physicists, veterans.
Yeah.
We have so many credible people on our side now.
Yeah.
You know, now, even that, we don't even have to necessarily go beat people over the head with facts now. You know, because we've got so many credible people that you can give them a DVD, give them a really good book to read.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you just have to approach them in the right way,
yeah.
and to get people to open their minds rather than close their minds. And I guess, you know, one of the things that struck me about what I see happening, and I hate to, you know, and I don't like to necessarily be critical just for the sake of being critical of
mm-hmm.
what they're doing. Okay, because the We Are Change group has done some awesome work. Okay, I've seen them do some really good stuff. They've done some interviews with some, who was it recently? Big name actor, Martin Sheen.
Oh, okay.
You know, and Martin Sheen did an interview with them and told them, yes, he has a lot of questions
That's
about
right.
9/11 now. You know,
That's
now
right.
that his son came out and his son showed him some information, he said, yeah, there is really something wrong with this picture.
Hmm.
You know. And that's all we want to get people to do.
Yeah.
That's all that's really required, is to get people to open their minds so that they're going to take a look. But when you take this defiant approach from the start, you know, people are going to be defiant towards you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, what we need to do is open up people's minds and people's hearts, because when you can get them to just look at the evidence and you can say to them, look, you know, list and just list off, you know, half a dozen facts. Did you know this? Did
mm-hmm.
you know that? Did you know that? Did you know that? And they'll go, no, I didn't. Okay, well, maybe you'd like to take a look at this, you know. And when they see that, they go, oh my God, you know, well, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no problem then in convincing them to support you in asking for a new investigation of 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, everybody will feel morally obliged to do that,
mm-hmm.
right? And so my thing is that, you know, what we have to do is take a, you know, not only a calmer approach to that, but a more
Well, one that can't be counterproductive to our goal.
Well, exactly.
You know?
No matter what we do, we want to make sure that we're doing no harm from the start. You know,
yeah.
That it's got little chance of backfiring on
yeah.
it,
yeah.
and being used against us. And so, Robin pointed out a couple weeks ago, you'll see these mass demonstrations against the war,
mm-hmm.
and we've had those since I was a kid. I've watched those. I've never participated in one because I could not identify with the people that I saw in those pictures on the TV in those 30-second clips. And every time I saw them, I would be going, these guys all look the same. And it didn't matter if it was an anti-war protest or if it was an anti-this protest or anti-that protest. I go, why is it always they look the same? You know, obviously mainstream people are not getting it or
right.
not. They're not joining those people. Why
right.
not?
Yeah.
Because they don't identify, right? And that's one of the key things that we need to do. Is because right now, we've gotten to a point where we've gotten very big. The information is out there. A lot of people know, both on the left, on the far left, and on the far right. But it's those people in the middle is what's going to make the difference. It's going to tip the scales.
Right. Yep.
It's those 20 to 30% in the middle that need to be approached and given the opportunity to look at the information for themselves. And that's all I want to do is give them the opportunity to see that and make a decision for themselves. I'm not going to tell them what to think or what to
mm-hmm.
believe by saying, 9/11 was an inside job. That's close end of the conversation right there.
Yeah, good
point. I want to open up a dialogue,
mm-hmm.
In a non-threatening way. And sell them what I know. And so my approach now is that, it's not a yelling job, it's not a telling job, it's a selling job.
Hmm.
And so I'm trying to utilize some of the skills that I've acquired over the years. When you just think about it, you look at advertising, and the methods that they use. I learned some of the stuff of my own through my own experience, but I took classes in communications and so on when I was in college too, and we've all had the experience of going to job interviews and so on. So anybody, even if you haven't been a salesman, you've had to sell yourself to get a job.
Yeah.
And I've had my own business and so on that I had to do the advertising for as well. So I've learned some of these things over the years and studied it to some degree as well. So
You're clearly seeing a link between, the marketing techniques that exist that will meet, the goals of 9/11, which is getting the information out.
Absolutely. And the other thing is that, I've put together a plan there basically of 10 different things that people should look at as far as if they're going to take a sales and marketing approach to this and a public relations approach to 9/11 truth, and just using a lot of the common concepts that,
mm-hmm.
All of the major corporations will tell you that you are absolutely essential if you're going to get your message out to the public. It's not a matter of being able to control the airwaves. You don't need to control the airwaves. And no matter how big of a, you can spend $1 million on an advertisement, but
mm-hmm.
If they only see it one time, it doesn't do any good.
Right.
You sell people. They do advertising by having repetition over and over and over. It's becoming brand name recognition.
Yeah.
And so every time you go stand at the bus stop, and a bus goes by, and you'll see something placard pasted onto the side of a bus, and you don't even notice it, but
right.
but you subconsciously you do,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see these advertisements all over the place, and you pick up on it, even if you don't want to, even if you're not even aware of it, and. There was a video I came across. I mailed it out to a few people. If anybody comes in the chat room, I can give you the link to that. But it was on YouTube, where they showed just how effective subliminal advertising
mm-hmm.
works. And they did an experiment with a couple of guys who actually work in the branch, and they just took them off to they picked them up someplace. They were asking them to go in for an interview, and they picked these two guys up, put them in the back of a car, drove them halfway across town, and then brought them into an office, sat them down, and said, "Okay, this is we're going to try you out, see what you can do. This is what we want to sell. You've got 30 minutes to come up with a plan, and this is the product. Here you go." And it was something really bizarre. When you see it, you'll laugh your head off when you see it. But anyways, within 30 minutes, these guys produced something on paper. And they showed it, and you go, okay, well, that's pretty cool. But then the guy comes back in the room, and he comes up with something that he'd done as well. and they were virtually identical. And then they showed these guys where they had been, and all these, all through the areas that they drove, there were in the windows, you know, there were little posters. There were people walking across the street with who had T-shirts on that had a certain logo or a certain slogan on it, and all the way along, there was these little clues that they never even consciously noticed, and yet they picked up on all of those things and put them all onto paper.
Yeah.
30 minutes later, you know. So, you know, this is the kind of thing that we need to do, is that, you know, we realize that we are the media. We don't need the mainstream media. And I think too many people are just really obsessed with that, why aren't they talking about it? Why aren't they talking about it and yelling at the TV? They're a bunch of liars, and, oh, the propaganda, and, you know, and, oh, we got to confront them. Well, no. Because you're wasting your energy in doing that. They love that. They just love it when you do that, because it's taking you out of action. It's taking you away from being the media yourself.
Right. And we'll be painted with their stroke, you know,
and
which is
exactly.
Kooks.
And you might have your 2 minutes of glory before the security people show up and haul you off and maybe taser you on top of it, throw your ass in jail. They're going to get 30 days worth of publicity out of that, and just toast you, you know, in the media themselves. They're going to crucify you. And that is what I see has actually happened in the last month and a half, 2 months, you know, and it's totally unnecessary. Now, I do have one contact who has some close ties with the group in New York who started that. And I know that they are having some second thoughts, and I hope that's the case. That's what I've heard through the grapevine. I'm hoping that's the case, because, you know, we just need to focus on ourselves being the media, going out there and realizing that we are a salesperson. You know, I'm a salesman. You're a salesman. You're a saleswoman or whatever. And we're going out there and just talking to people, and going out in groups of, like, you know, either by yourself, but preferably in groups of two or three people. Going out with a few pamphlets and some DVDs, and, you know, just a few catchy things, and just smile at people, talk to people, hey, how are you today, you know, and engage them in a little conversation, and try and find things that you have in common with them, or things that you can agree upon, other things that are going on politically, you know, and hey, by the way, have you thought about this, you know, did you know this, did you know that, you know, and pretty soon, you know, they're taking your material from you, and great, have a good day, you know, and you know what, if they don't, they go, oh, you guys, no, you're nuts, hey, great, have a good day. You don't need to, you know, get into a shouting, screaming match. The optics of that are so bad, because in the time that you're going to spend 2 minutes having a, you know, talking to somebody who's having a fit on you while you're trying to calm him down and explain things, you got 20, 30 people going by and going, oh, my God, what is that about?
And they're not going to change their mind.
No, absolutely not. They're not going to change their mind.
Well, they're there to change your mind, aren't they? You know, the ones that are going to confront the confronter, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, my whole point is, you know, just by going out and being civil, by doing, you know, one-on-one talking to people. Of course, we can't talk to, you know, a million people. I mean, that would take us a hell of a long time if only a few of us were doing it. But if everybody, you know, can do that, you know, at some point, you know, once a week or whenever you can, get out and try and talk to a few people, that's great. There's other things that people can do too, because they don't have time, or they don't want to be, you know, they don't want their face out there, they don't want their name out there. You know, that's understandable. But you can, maybe you've got other talents. Maybe you're good with graphics on the computer. Maybe you can come up with some brochures, some little flyers.
Yeah.
Doesn't even have to be really wordy. Like, the less wordy, the better. It just has to be eye-catching.
Yeah. Or better yet, contact you, contact me, contact someone in the movement. You know, hey, I would like to help out. What do you suggest? I mean, you know, I like to think that I'm 100% approachable. Wayne, you're a pretty approachable fellow
definitely.
As well. You know, so, you know, you know, we have to keep that in mind as well, that we have to welcome people to come see us, as well as, you know, us approaching them.
Oh, absolutely, you know. And the thing is that if we all do this, I mean, think of it. If every one of us in this movement, okay, and there are millions and millions of people in this movement now, just going by the Zogby polls, you know, that were released, you know, a couple of years ago, by the poll from the Toronto Star 2004, 63% of Canadians don't believe the official story of 9/11. Hey, come on. You know, who's going to think we're stupid? Yeah. You know, we don't have to. We don't have to take that approach, mm-hmm. you know, and be hostile and demand attention. Yeah. You know, we don't have to be that way whatsoever.
A really good example of that is I haven't been trying too much recently, but you know, for months for this show, I was trying to get someone to defend the official story.
I
couldn't get anyone. No one is willing to come on and repeat those, you know, glaring lies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I could very quickly. Put to, you know, point out lies and, you know, explain it. So, you know, no one is willing to come on my show to even...
Guys from Popular Mechanics, I'm sure, have given up because they got their asses kicked every time they went on a radio show or TV show with people who knew their stuff, who knew their facts. They got their butts kicked.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's just indefensible. You know, it's crazy. But, you know, the point is, if you can just, you know, you can't get out and talk to everybody. We know that. So what do we have to do to be the media? You know, if we can get out and start putting up, you know, wherever possible, just a little, you know, something, you know, small with, you know, it doesn't have to be a huge poster. It could be something small with Investigate 9/11 on it. You know, put those into, if you're getting on the bus where they have, you know, I don't know, but where you are, but here they have the buses. They have those things that you can read on the bus called the buzzer.
There you go.
I mean, put some stuff in there for people to read. You know, when they're going to work on their commute, put it in with their newspapers. When they're going, you know, they got those daily papers that come out the 24 hours.
Yeah, slide them in there.
All these real estate things that are free that you can, hey, throw them in there.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to people. Throw in a DVD too. You know, it's not going to cost you that much. You know, but that's something that everybody can do, even because not everybody has the gift of the gab. You know, I mean, that's something that has to be learned. If you're not, you know, naturally, some people it comes naturally, I suppose. But you know, some people have to learn it, and some people are just not inclined to do that. But there's other things that you can do, and it's just a matter of deciding. Yeah, I can do this.
That's right.
You know. And where the opportunity presents itself, to, you know, to be willing to say something. And if everybody, as I was saying, you know, like millions of us, if everybody would get out at least, you know, a couple times a week with a shirt on that says Investigate 9/11,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, something questioning the official story and the Twin Towers on it, people pick up on that subconsciously. Subconscious is huge in advertising.
Yeah.
You know, and so that at some point in time, it's going to click, and it's going to go over into the actual conscious mind, and they're going to go, geez, you know, I got to look at this for whatever reason, and they don't even know why, and they're going to go look at something, and you know, or you know, they're going to overhear a conversation going on the street as they're walking by. Hey, there's that 9/11 thing again. There's you know, so many different ways, you know, if you just get creative, and I'm not even the most creative person in that regard. I mean, we've got so many talented people in this movement. I mean, I was just always blown away by, you know, in Vancouver, the amount of talent that we have there.
Yeah.
Graphic artists are just incredible,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It's really promising to see, you know, the new innovations that people are coming out with to get the word out. It sometimes it reminds me, like, right, okay, that's why I'm investing all this time, because, you know, damn it, we are worth it, you know. And when I see someone come up with something new that, you know, that works, and it's like, yes, you know, that's the human spirit that I want to champion, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, we had that, when was it, about a month ago, the guys from Montreal, they went to the subway station down there, set up a little table with a laptop, put on a little demonstration of different, you know, five or six different short video clips showing controlled demolitions, you know, and for the people to coming by, just asking if they'd like to participate in a little test, a little quiz. People like to do that if they're bored, they're waiting for whatever, you know, and, you know, okay, spot the one which wasn't a controlled demolition or whichever one was, whatever the case was, I can't recall now, but very effective. Right. And people liked it, and they went, wow, geez, yeah. Here's a DVD. Go watch that. Yeah, I will. You know, very effective, very creative. You know, of course, you're not going to get millions of people doing that, though. You know, so we've got to get the image out in other ways, physically. Little, you know, bumper stickers, little decals that you can put someplace, a little patch on a shoulder patch, things like that. There's also the, you know, whenever You know, occasionally you'll still see something coming out in the Vancouver Sun, the province, or whatever your local paper is, referring to the War on Terror and 9/11. And they'll almost invariably, it's the 19 hijackers with the box cutters. Of course, we know 9 of whom are still alive and well and had nothing to do with it.
Right.
And they keep on a trotting that one out on us, right? You know, it's then we can write them and call them on it and say, excuse me, this was proven. You know, here's links to the BBC, ABC, and a few other places that showed this, that these guys reported they're alive and well and had nothing to do with it. You know, so please, you know, refrain from saying that in the future. You know,
Media watchdogs. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we have to be media watchdogs. Okay, and so I mean, obviously, you know, the bigger your group, the more people you're going to have. So you want to then kind of divide your group up into, you know, who's good with graphics, who's good with writing, who's good with speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Who's got some, you know, good promotional experience, stuff like that. Who's
bounce
better
ideas
organizing.
Off of each other, yeah.
And, you know, and get people out in the street that are, you know, not just, don't, you know, there's older people in this movement. I mean, gosh, in Vancouver we had people between the ages of 18 and 80 regularly come to our meetings. You know, but when it came down to going out on the street, you know, it was mostly the young people. And obviously there's some, you know, that you can understand that older people don't want to be standing around and so on for a long period of time. But you know what? If they can just get out on their own with some of their girlfriends, you know, go have a coffee and just talk to people, hear some literature, you know. And when we do have larger, you know, protest gatherings, which I don't see the whole lot of value in those anymore. But when you do, it's best to have as many people representing, you know, the vast array of people that we've got, you know, in all ages represented, all different backgrounds, races and sexes and everything, in genders, whatever, represented. That's what's effective. That's what's going to turn the tide for us, right, is when people see, hey, I can identify with them. I'm one of them. They're one of me. You know, that's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, indeed. You know, kind of highlighting what you just said, you've got a quote here in this paper. Why try to beat down closed doors, meaning the corporate media, when there are others that are open and others that can be opened with a little nudging?
Absolutely, because, you know, it's we're always very down on the mainstream media, the mainstream media, this, the mainstream media, that. And generally what we're talking about there is Fox News, CNN. Locally we'll be talking about CKNW, Vancouver Radio, and some of the other, you know, AM 640 Toronto Radio, News Talk, blah, 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 24 hours, all the news you can handle, or, you know, until you puke. Those are not the people we necessarily have to go after, you know. There's other media out there. When we're gearing up for the conference, see, it's a matter of, you know, being creative. You've got to find that there are other types of radio stations out there. You know, most major cities will have these. In Vancouver, it's 14 CFUN, which is generally considered a chick station,
mm-hmm.
and who don't really deal in heavy political issues at all. They're, you know, standard fare is talking about stuff going on in Hollywood, or you'll have other ones that are talking about, you know, women's issues, relationship issues, and that sort of thing, and you know, or, you know, who's pregnant and you know, all this kind of stuff. So, you know, but, you know, I thought, you know, occasionally I did hear that they did have once in a while would have something fairly serious on. You know what? My experience is that when I've talked to women, women are generally a lot more receptive to men to new information. And I thought, you know, let's check this out. And when I approached them, the producers of shows on CFUN, and I gave them an idea, I had to think about it in advance, plan it out, and say, look, this is who I could get for you. This person is such and such, has this background, that background, very eloquent spoken. He's a professor of this and that. They go, professor, well, I'll bet you he's really boring. No. This is, you know, I'd be talking to Professor Stephen or Kevin Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a really funny, witty guy. And he's written this great book, you know. Or and then I had Roland Morgan, who's a, you know, he's a hoot.
Mm-hmm.
Just a very witty guy. But talking about serious issues, serious investigations that he's done. But he's really good for a laugh too, you know. Getting some of these people on there, and I'd have to sell those guests to them, but they would welcome those ideas because they're scrambling every day. Producers are scrambling every day for an idea,
sure.
You know. But it's got to be something that's going to appeal to their audience. And so, you know, we would have to tailor it. And we've got, and this is the one thing we've got going for us now that we didn't have 4 or 5 years ago, is that we have so many credible people who we can offer, different people who have different styles, you know, to fit any occasion, you know, with different backgrounds, architects, engineers, physicists, you name it, you know, investigative journalists. We've got them all now. So, you know, we've got to utilize those people. I mean, they'll just, most of them will just jump at the opportunity to do an interview if you can arrange it for them. Sure. Heck, I got an interview with a Hollywood star on CFUN who wasn't even coming to our conference but was willing to talk about 9/11 truth for us.
No kidding. Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, they said, yeah, geez, yeah, we'd love to have that, you know. Yeah, sure. You know, they went for it, and they were very good. And, you know, they were got into a bit of a kerfuffle between a couple of different shows because it was they were competing with each other a bit.
Right.
But, you know, but on the whole, the message was getting out that people were hearing that for the first time and going, you know, and as I say, you know, women, mainly primarily female audiences, some men too, but primarily female. And, you know, and they're most likely going to talk about that with their girlfriends and their colleagues and so on over coffee or when they go into the office. And it gets around. So, you've got people talking about the issue, and that's what we need. We need to keep it flowing. We don't have to rely on the TV to do it for us or anything like that. You know, there are media out there who can and will talk about it if you approach them in the right way,
yeah.
You know, and make their job easy for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, yeah, so it's a matter of planning. Of course, you know,
be the media or, you know, aid the existing media that's, you know, somewhat sympathetic to you.
Absolutely. You know, and you can do as my good friend Raymond Geisler here has done and go and approach your local campus who if they've got a radio station and see if they're willing to give you an hour a week. Then we've got one more show out there that's talking about some of these issues.
That's
you can
right.
go to Shaw Cable and see if they've got any time on their channel for an hour a week or even once or twice a month. You know, it would be great. So, again, the issues are getting out there. Sooner or later, people can't avoid it. You know, and that's the thing, is to keep it in the public spotlight, right?
I'm curious if Canada's next federal election, I'm curious to see how many people might run as independents running on a 9/11 Truth platform.
Yeah.
You know, because they're going to be forced to get some media exposure.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how effective that'll be. I've been toying with that idea myself, and I'm curious to see
My feeling at this point is that's probably not going to fly just yet because I don't think we're far enough advanced. And this is, I guess, well, at the point where we should probably talk a bit about what I was mentioning about getting a national organization going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. Because we do have these groups now in, you know, pretty much every major city is represented, and some are regional as well, such as here in Fraser Valley and in the Kootenays. What I think we have to do two things really, and one is those places where you are in a big city and you've got those big groups is to begin to spread out more and get into your own neighborhoods. In smaller groups and start putting on some screenings at the library of different documentaries, you know, do some advertising for it in advance. You know, you can always get a few people from the group to help you out. And if you've got a number of people doing that in different areas, in different communities, whether it be, you know, cultural areas as well, East Indian community, Chinese community, and so on, you're going to start making an impact into a sector that we haven't even begun to touch yet,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, at the national level, what I'd like to see is, and if we can get, you know, to grow this grassroots more to the point where we can have a national organization that is basically, you know, one representative per group, and begin to look at how has Canada been affected by 9/11, and that's a project actually that I started after the conference, and I as I said, I mean, the conference took a lot of me. I eventually put that aside, and I haven't picked it up again since then. But I came up with, you know, quite a bit of stuff just on how Canada's been affected and Canada's response to 9/11 and so on. And these are things that I think a national organization has to look at. And as I said, if we had one delegate from every region, and we could get together and chat online or on conference calls and kind of talk about what's working. You've got different politicians in different regions as well. Some are not so well known to the others and so on. Say, we can approach this person, you can approach that person.
Who's sympathetic,
Right? Who's sympathetic. We can talk about, we've got the Canadian, you mentioned about us as far as politics and elections are concerned. You know, we do have the Canadian Action Party out there. I know you've spoken a number of times about it in the past. And, you know, people have to be aware that, you know, the Canadian Action Party is the first federal party in Canada, registered federal party in Canada, that has made 9/11 truth, that is, the need for a new investigation is 9/11, their number one priority, because they've realized that everything hinges upon 9/11 truth, which is what makes it so important. You know, it's bad enough what happened to 3,000 people that day. Everything else that happened after that, the whole agenda that came after that is even more troubling to me. And so many things that we have to expose, it all happened because of these lies. And we're threatening to bring the whole thing crumbling down. We know that. You and I know that. And those people in the mainstream media know that. The politicians know that. And that's why, you know, we don't want to get into confrontation with these people now, because we're winning. You know, we don't have to pick a fight. They're going to have to come looking for us, but we're going to be out there informing people, right? Mm. And there's going to be nothing that they can do about it. Mm. So, anyways, Canadian Action Party have made that their priority, because they know so many things hinge upon it. And, you know, I think that's something that people should look at right now, is that, you know, there's talk now again, there may be an election coming up in the springtime to get involved with CAP. To keep that issue out there, maybe become a candidate for them. CAP is a very versatile party. It's not, neither left nor right. They go different ways on different issues, but it's something that everybody should look into, is CanadianActionParty.ca.
Yeah, good point. If you visit their website, you're going to learn about issues that aren't talked about on television, that aren't talked by the other political parties. You know, kind of the don't touch, you know, that's not part of the history that we want to pretend does or doesn't exist. Like, for example, compare the issues on the Canadian Action Party to the NDP, and find out, you know, which one is talking about what. I think that you know, just doing the taste test yourself will show that the Canadian Action Party is something different.
Absolutely. And so I think that's going to be another big opportunity for us to get out and do some talking to people. Is if we can get some candidates out there on behalf of CAP. You know, I always want to stress that we should, you know, try and keep political parties at arm's length. Even some of our most respected scholars and people in our movement, including those in Canada, we've got so many wonderful people. I personally think, you know, it's best to keep this at a grassroots level, keep them at arm's length. Do our best to represent those people so we're not making them look foolish. And when we do that, we're leaving the door open for more people to come in, more credible people to come in, and say, listen, I have problems with 9/11.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so the point where they're not going to be able to ignore us anymore. They're not going to be able to laugh. They're not going to be able to attack us. You know? And that's the whole point. Whereas if we get in their faces, attack, 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 they can fight back and destroy us very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And quicken the police state if that's...
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, if we... You know what? We are just about at 10 o'clock. So, Wayne, it's been really great, really swell, Wayne, having you on the show tonight.
Oh, my pleasure.
It is 10 o'clock. Is there a final parting thought to leave with?
Yeah, I'm not big into Christmas and so on, but to those who are, I wish you all a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and all the best for 9/11 Truth in 2008.
Very nice. Wayne Prente in the Fraser Valley tonight, thank you for coming on, and keep up the great work and that energy that's putting the pen to paper for you.
Thank you, Raymond.
Okay, buddy.
Good night.
Be well. Okay, friends, that will just about do it. So that conversation was with Wayne Parente.
What else did we do tonight? We took a look at conspiratorial history theory, which is something interesting, and that website was Three World Wars. Next week, I'm going to have Tracy Ferguson. He is a 9/11 truth activist from Victoria. He is working on a letter that he's going to send to Canadian politicians. So he's going to share a little bit about that, what he's hoping to accomplish with that. There might be a little bit of a New World Order and the media theme in the other pieces that I bring to you. So that will do it. This is Unbought and Unbossed, Canadian political news and views. I am your host, Raymond. This was show 46. So, as always, you are listening to CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo, Radio Malaspina. I'm going to take you now to the Terrence McKenna. That will be followed by Sandeep and the Late is it called the Late Shift or the Late Show? I think it's the Late Shift. Oh, shit, Sandeep, I'm sorry. Okay, folks, you all take care, and we'll see you again next week.